reserve Wednesday for.
Okay, so, yes.
Well, I don't know, maybe it's a small detail. You said something about the importance of normalizations to do these two specializations. Can you repeat that?
Right, so the point was that there was a Humphrey, which was a two-variable polynomial in A and Q, and it was always, for any knot, it was always of the form A minus A inverse over Q minus Q inverse. This prefactor is precisely the value for the unknot times something else, okay? Which is actually a Laurent polynomial with integer coefficients. So I was saying that we can specialize to A equals Q to the N. That's not the problem that we needed for quantum SLN invariant, but we can specialize to A equals 1 here because we'll suddenly get a very boring invariant in the unnormalized case. But if you use this expression, it does specialize to something non-trivial, and that was covered in this example. Okay, so we've seen several polynomial knot invariants, and now we'll go to homology. The reason is the following. Okay, so one word on motivation that Dennis asked in the first part. All of these polynomial invariants happen to come out with integer coefficients, and in many cases you can't actually prove or see the structure just from skein relations or from this R matrix definition. So for a long time, this was a puzzle, and many people, notably at E, have emphasized this point and asked the question, what is the meaning of these integer coefficients which appear in this quantum SLN invariance and other not quantum not invariants? There have been two developments over the past few years which are not unrelated. Both of them explain integrality of these coefficients, and there is one development which goes by the name of BPS invariance, and the second goes by the name of knot homologies. In the first one, the integer coefficients which appear in this polynomial invariance are interpreted as solution to some enumerative problem. So basically with these integers, we're just counting something, and in fact, we are counting certain BPS states. So surely the answer has to be integer. In this case...
Would they have signs?
Sorry?
The signs,
yeah,
part of the count?
That's right. So in fact, it's a counting of an index type, so it's weighted counting, and it has naturally signs, so it has plus and minus integers. So in this case, the polynomial invariants that I described come out as Euler characteristics of something more sophisticated, as I alluded in the very, very beginning. That's why in this development, the theory, the whole knot theory, got promoted one step up in the hierarchy and finally joined the rest of mathematics with homological algebra. So, since many of us know physics quite well, I'll leave this part. Probably I won't have much time to get into it. I'll try, but realistically, I don't think I'll be there. And I'll try to focus on this second development that sheds light on integrality of these coefficients and give you a enlightening introduction in knot homologies. So my goal here again is to kind of prepare you for perhaps further reading or work on this subject. Yes?
Two questions. So the BPS invariant is that has less information than the knot homologies. It's not equivalent.
These are the only two developments which I know which explain integrality, and therefore it is natural to propose that there is some relation between these two. So this is very natural, and in this paper which is mentioned on the handout with Kuhn and Albert, we actually try to argue that they are not quite independent, and there is some evidence to it.
Yeah. And can you give a one-line characterization of the BPS invariance if you're not going to?
I'll try to do that in the end. I mean, I'll really try hard to get somewhere in this area, but most natural place would be really towards the very end. Or if I forget, you should feel free to ask this as a question in the very end. Yes?
So the problem was to understand why were there integers? Or
yes. Yeah. So in some cases, you can prove that certain coefficients have to be integers or multiples of integers just using skein relations, because all coefficients and the skein rules were integers. But in some cases, in fact, in many cases, you can't prove it just based on skein relations or the structure of R matrix. So, but put differently, from the definition, it doesn't immediately follow. And in all examples, it comes out to be so. So then the question is why? What's the meaning of it? Is there a connection to number theory or something? Now, the basic idea of this second development which I'll first formulate for this polynomial invariance in variable Q, in fact, apart from the Pomfli, many of the polynomial invariants that we encountered so far were of the form P of Q, where this is some polynomial or Laurent polynomial in one variable Q. So the corresponding homology here is such that given a knot, just like given a manifold, you produce some abelian groups like Bethe cohomologies. Same logic here. Given a knot, there is some way to construct cohomology theory H of K, which has two gradings. Usually we are used to homology which has one grading. It's like a degree of the form, for instance, or dimension of the cycle. In this case, it will have two gradings, I and J. It's like in a Hodge theory, you have in a Hodge decomposition, you have I and J for PQ forms, things like that. So this will be a doubly graded homology theory or cohomology theory, it doesn't matter which term you use, homology or cohomology, which will depend on the knot and some other data. And the basic property or the basic idea of this homology is that if you take L characteristic in this, I'll say in a second what I mean by this, graded L characteristic, you're supposed to recover this polynomial knot invariant in the variable Q, okay? To explain what this means precisely, let me consider an example and tell you, and then it will become crystal clear, okay? So, first example will refer to Alexander polynomial. Let's do realize this program for Alexander polynomial, which is the simplest polynomial invariant of knots. In fact, was discovered first way before the Jones polynomial. And in this case, the corresponding homology theory is called knot-Fleur homology. This is just a name. Well, it's a very well-motivated name, because this theory comes from certain version of Fleur homology. And this theory was discovered by Osvath and Szabo. And also by Rasmussen. And in this case, homology is denoted HFK. This is just a symbol referring to these groups in this particular situation. It carries two indices, I and J. One is usually put here as an homology. Then we specify the knot, and the second comes here. So, in fact, it's a filtered theory. That's why we put it here rather than next to I. But for us, it won't matter. So, we'll treat it as a doubly graded theory, but If I were to give a mathematics talk, I would probably say filtered to be more accurate. So this grading here and filtration here have correspondingly the names of homological grading and this is called Alexander grading for the following reason. In order to recover Alexander polynomial, which was delta of q, we take the weighted sum, we sum over I and j to be all integers of minus 1 to the I, q to the j, times, okay, I don't, in a space, times dimension of h of k, I, of the knot and j. Can you see it from the back? Probably not. Shall I repeat this formula on the other board? Yeah, this is probably too cluttered. Okay. Here it is again in capital font. So you see, you take dimensions of these homology groups, which are integers, okay, these are dimensions of some vector spaces, and you sum over index I here, which is this homological grading with minus 1 to the I, just as we usually do in constructing Euler characteristic out of Betti numbers, and we keep track of this other grading, which is filtration in this case, by putting a formal variable q to the power j. So the result will be some Laurent polynomial in Q, polynomial because this theory is supposed to have finite support, so put differently, it doesn't go infinitely in one or the other direction. And in doing this, you recover this Alexander polynomial. So let me also define Poincaré polynomial, which is a very handy device to keep track of dimensions of these groups. So very often, in fact, most often, you're not worried about torsion in this theory, and then dimensions of these groups is all you want to know. It's like answering Betti numbers or Hodge numbers in the typical setup that we use in string theory. So here I'll define a Poincaré polynomial which I'll denote h f lower k as a function of q and another variable t, which is defined pretty much in the same way. It's a sum over I and j, t to the I, q to the j, and then dimension of the group h of k I j. Okay? Yes? Yeah. No, no. I'm telling you the property of the theory. So the theory is constructed. Unfortunately, I won't have time for it today. I was thinking I might, but each theory is constructed in a certain combinatorial way using scaling relations, etc. So, given a knot diagram or some other data of the knot, like a Bray diagram or something else, some input, you construct some cohomology theory, such that if you take Euler characteristic, you recover the polynomial. So it comes out as a property of the theory, not. I'm using it as a kind of defining property, but it's not really the right way to do it.
Okay, but if you forget about sum over I, this equation will be actually enough to recover the right.
Almost, that's right. So that's why in this modular torsion. So that's what I was trying to do in this second line, by saying that if I put a variable here t instead of minus 1, I'll basically have all the information about these groups modulo torsion. So all the dimensions will be captured by this polynomial, which is now polynomial in two variables, and it's like.
Will you give us an idea of what these groups are?
Yeah. So I was about to do that. For an example, guess what example is going to be. So for the trefoil knot, the Poincaré polynomial, I'll just write Poincaré polynomial rather than groups, since it's a bit easier, is Q minus 2 T minus 2 plus T minus 1 plus Q squared. Okay? So this polynomial, which is Poincaré polynomial, has two properties which are obvious and should be true. First of all, it has integer coefficients, which is a reflection of the fact that these coefficients are dimensions of some vector spaces. So given this, you can reconstruct the vector spaces, say, over Z or Q. And all coefficients are non-negative, which obviously has to be true for it to be a Poincaré polynomial of some homology theory. So moreover, specializing to t equals minus 1, namely from Poincaré polynomial to the Euler characteristic, we do recover the Alexander polynomial of the trefoil knot that hopefully you have in the notes. Okay. Again, I won't unfortunately have time to define this homology and other ones that I'm going to discuss now, because definition of each homology would probably take several lectures on its own. So I'm trying to
give us a feeling for what it is.
I'll try to summarize by the end. Unfortunately, at this stage, just accept that there is a way to define it. I mean, it's don't be so disappointed, because in one of the cases that we'll get to next, definition takes about 100 pages, and there is no way to implement this definition for trefoil knot. So even with the computer, you can compute simple cohomology using the definition. I mean, using
but
the this.
You can't even explain what the idea is. Not give a definition, but just
okay.
Give some feeling of
okay.
What it's
so,
about.
Here, what happens is that this theory is defined as a floor homology of two Lagrangian submanifolds in a certain configuration space. Configuration space and the Lagrangians are constructed from the Higger decomposition of a three-manifold with a knot inside it. So I think I've said enough complicated words to give you a feeling and clarify that it's really going to be tough. I mean, each of these theories took several years to develop, and it's hard.
Can I say one sentence
yes.
About Kovanov definition? So something like
I'm going to do it next. So can we wait? Kovanov is the next example. So that will have a different definition, right?
Okay.
Sorry? It's right. It's a space. Space is not terribly complicated. Given a Higger decomposition, you do the Higger decomposition along some Riemann surface. You take the phase space, the symplectic manifold, which is the Riemann surface to the genus. That's the ambient space. And Lagrangians are actually, one Lagrangian is product of all A cycles on this Riemann surface, the other Lagrangian is product of all B cycles on this Riemann surface. But again, I have 25 minutes till reasonable cutoff, and I want to cover Hovanov homology, Hovanov-Rozansky homology, and a bit more. So, I mean, honestly, I can't go into definition of these theories, because each even definition would require several or at least one lecture on its own, and the goal here is just to give you a flavor of what these things are. I mean, explain the most crucial properties, what they're categorifying, what their other characteristics are, and if you're interested, I'd be happy to give several lectures on each of these theories, but it won't be possible to do it in the remaining 25 minutes. Yes.
Was there, so in this, the last thing, you could have multiplied by this HFK by T, and then you could have made a, just formally absorb the remaining T's into Q's.
Is there any meaning to this statement?
Does it always happen?
No, it's a special symmetry of this particular guy. I should have said, actually, by the way, that all these theories are defined up to shift in grading in the level of Poincaré polynomial up to multiplication by any power of overall power of T or Q. So overall power is not as important as the relative powers of T and Q. So okay, the next example is Kolmogorov homology. Which does exactly the same job as not for homology, but for the Jones polynomial. So Jones polynomial, which is a polynomial in one variable q, is obtained as Euler characteristic in this theory, minus 1 to the I, q to the j, dimension of h, I'll call it hkh, for Hovanov, who discovered it, ij, of an RK. Now it's really doubly graded theory. No funny disclaimers about filtrations. And this one is again called homological grading, which goes with weight minus 1. The other is called Jones grading, or Q grading, which goes with a formal variable Q. Now this theory is defined combinatorially. It's not like Fleur homology as in this case. It's defined using skein relations very similar to the ones we use for the Jones polynomial, but promoted to complexes. So for each knot, planar diagram of a knot, you're supposed to construct a complex, well, and then a differential, such that... And the construction is very combinatorial. In fact, on the handout, you have an example of the trefoil knot, which shows you 8 different resolutions of a crossing of the trefoil. Remember, we did this counting earlier. So in the trefoil, you have 3 crossings, and in the skein relations, you can have 2 resolutions of this crossing. So you, in total, you get 8 possible choices. Each of these choices is assigned a complex, and then you put all complexes together. You take a direct sum of these complexes. Then there is a way to construct a differential, and if you had a little bit more time, we could actually go through this definition. In this case, it's not as complicated as in other situations. And here, actually, I'm confident that in 1 hour, we could really compute the homology of the trefoil and see that its early characteristic is, in fact, the Jones polynomial. So due to lack of time, all I'm going to do, I'll just define Poincaré polynomial for the trefoil knot. Oh, by the way, Dennis, do you have any further comments on the definition?
I was just going to say that to the planar diagram, you construct a chain complex, and then you take its homology. I mean, it's by specific combinatorial means. Yeah, just what you said.
Right. So for the trefoil, if knot is our favorite example, then again, it's natural to introduce two-variable Poincaré polynomial for this homology, which is the same sum except we have extra variable t to the I, q to the j, and then again dimension of h Hovanov I and j. And in this particular case, it comes out to be q plus q cubed plus q to the fifth t squared plus q to the ninth t cubed. Okay, the same thing. All coefficients are non-negative, and all coefficients are integer, meaning that it does come from homology of some sort. And moreover, specializing to t equals minus 1, you do recover the Jones polynomial that we had before.
Ten seconds, Mark.
Sure.
In this combinatorial construction, which I don't know, Kolmogorov uses the cohomology of the two-sphere. It's like the thing you plug in. And the only properties he uses are the fact that it's a Frobenius algebra.
Yeah.
So there's something in the construction which is suggestive of a lot of other structures that we have in
topological string theory. Frobenius algebras and their deformations.
Yeah. So
it's not like totally unrelated.
Right.
Core structure.
Right. And, right. It's a wonderful topic, and in each of these cases, the construction is very different. So I'll try to, in the next point that I'm going to make, I'll try to emphasize that construction of all of these homologies are very different. So, yet they seem to be related even mathematically. If you compute these homologies or Poincaré polynomials for different knots, you start seeing relations. And these relations are not manifest in the definitions, but in each case, the definitions are cry out for a physical interpretation. Here we have some kind of floor homology, which is the bread and butter of A model, topological string A model. In this case, we have this Frobenius algebras, and in fact, the whole theory actually leads to invariance of cobordisms, which suggests that it should have a 2QFT under it. I mean, it is a 2QFT, and if I had more time, I would be able to explain which one. And then there are yet other examples. For instance, next one will be Hovanov-Rosansky homology, which does the same job not for SL2 but for any value of n, and that uses matrix factorizations. Well, physicists would immediately say, hey, these are D brains in the B model. So all of these definitions have a lot of ingredients which are nothing but what we use in physics, and therefore they really cry out for a physical interpretation. And I'm sure that there is a very interesting story and connection between these theories based also on physics grounds. Okay, so let me now summarize these homologies in a table which you also have on the handout. I'll try to explain what the table means. So here I'll put polynomial for a polynomial not invariant. Here I'll put quantum group for reference to the rank or which particular version of SLN or GLN we're talking about. And here I'll put homology for the corresponding theory. So the first example was the Alexander polynomial that we saw. In this case, quantum group, it's a bit too simple, but the corresponding invariant could be also defined using quantum groups and R matrices. It's based on GL 1/1, or you could actually put M/M, doesn't really matter as long as these two are equal. It's a supergroup. And the corresponding homology was not floor homology. Of Osler, Zalba, and Rasmussen. The next one that we discussed was relevant to the Jones polynomial, and this is UQ of SL2, and the corresponding homology is the Holonov homology. Okay, the next case is a little bit more interesting. So I didn't discuss it, but I'll put it in a table. Here I want to distinguish n equals, well, it's interesting. I mean, in the case n equals 2, this is just Jones, but here we'll be considering more general n's. So one special case of that is actually SL3, and then I'll write UQ of SLN, meaning more general n. So homologies for these guys were constructed first by Hovanov in the SL3 case. So I'll write again here Hovanov. And to distinguish, I'll put here, this was in 99. This was a few years after 03. And in general, it was done by Hovanov and Rosansky last year. So this is a very recent subject. this definition used floor homology. This was combinatorial uplifting skein relation to chain complexes. This relation is yet another thing. It uses so-called web cobordisms of forms, which is also it uses web cobordisms. It's this theory is constructed intrinsically as an invariant of cobordism. So usually that was that came after, but in this case, in this SL3 construction, it was actually built into the theory, interestingly enough. This construction, which I alluded to earlier, uses matrix factorization, I mean the Habanov-Rosansky homology. So all of these theories, even though they come in the same package and they refer to homologies of invariants, which all come in the same tower of quantum SLN invariants, their constructions were completely different, and I would say that Habanov homology is by far the easiest to compute. A lot is known about Knott-Fludor homology. SL3 case is... There is a definition, and it's possible to implement it. It took me a week to do it for trefoil knot. I mean, I was pretty slow, but it involves lots of diagrams. And this one, even with the computer power and lots of work, wasn't possible to compute until very recently, even for the trefoil. It's very complicated, and as I say, definition takes quite a few pages, and implementing that is yet another problem because it deals with infinite dimensional spaces. Now, there are yet... Okay, so to give you the complete picture, I have to finish with a few variations of the Hovanov homology, okay? And then this will be pretty much complete list up to now of what... which homologies exist in this area. One is called symplectic Hovanov homology. And it was constructed by Seidel and Smith as an attempt to define Habanov homology, which is defined combinatorially, as a floor homology of some kind. So that by that time, which was around last year, people already noticed a lot of relations between these two theories. And since, as I say, they are homologies for polynomials which come in the same package, they suspected that there should be some kind of connection. So these guys try to define Hovanov homology using floor homology and Lagrangian submanifolds to kind of put it on a similar footing as Knott-Fludor homology. They didn't quite succeed. They constructed a singly graded theory. So you see here it was crucial to have two gradings, one of which was giving us only a characteristic, and the other was giving the Q dependence. So this guy's constructing only a singly graded theory, which seems to capture some information about Hovanov homology, but clearly it's not as powerful as the Onnes doubly graded homology. This is one deformation. I should put it below this line, probably. Then there are other variations. There is one particular one which is called usually deformed theory, deformed Hovanov homology or Hovanov-Rosansky homology, which is due to Lee and Gornick, who is still a student at Princeton, a very bright one, who constructed deformations of Hovanov homology and these are also some doubly graded theories. They basically deform differentials in the definition, in the combinatorial definition here. And these are some doubly graded theories, but if you look at this, at the result of the homology, it's just a vector space. And unfortunately, it's a very boring vector space for any knot. So in fact, dimension of this space in the SL2 case, I'll denote the corresponding theory with the KH prime, prime for deformed, is equal to the 2 to the power L, where L is the number of link components. So for any link, dimension of this homology is fixed. In fact, all of these vector spaces sit in a prescribed grading, in homological grading 0, and in a Q grading, which is some number. So in fact, there is only one number which is non-trivial about this homology. Yes, it's a very important number. In fact, it was used by Rasmussen to prove Milner conjecture about a knotting number for torus knots. And it has been used in several other contexts. The reason it's so useful is because this theory is actually deformation of this one and obtained by deforming differentials, so we naturally get spectral sequence which relates to the two. And it is this spectral sequence which is so powerful and useful for understanding Hovanov homology as well as the result. So anyway, this is the entire summary of all homologies which are known at present, or almost all of them. There are a few variations along these deformed lines, which I'm not mentioning, but basically I covered here all the main cases. So,
does the deformed theory use a deformed Frobenius alpha?
Yeah, so in fact, it's there is a very nice way to understand these deformed theories using different Frobenius algebras. They correspond to different Frobenius algebras, which can be themselves thought as deformations of the original one. And this point has been particularly emphasized by Dor, Barnatan, and Khovanov in some recent papers a few months ago. Anyhow, so I have to conclude, and my conclusion is the following, that all of these theories seem to be very different and have very different definitions. They're, at practical level, some of these are computable, like Khovanov homology. We know now the homology groups for many knots. This one is a bit tougher, but still is very well studied. All theories here are virtually unknown. In fact, until very recently, we had almost zero information about even the basic knots, such as trefoil, not to mention links, etc. So what's interesting is that they come in a package of a same type of polynomial invariants, and in fact there is a theory like M-theory for knots, or Matievic knot homology, as you might call it, which is a triply graded homology. And in different limits, because it's triply graded, you can specialize to different combinations of gradings. You can recover, say, non-Fluor homology or Khovanov homology, its deformation, or Khovanov-Rozansky theory, and all other cases by taking suitable limits or suitable specializations. And this third grading plays pretty much the same role as extra circle in this in M theory and its connection to different string theories. So using this third grading, you can take different specializations, different limits, and recover all of these theories. Unfortunately, at the moment we have a very delicate, I mean, it's not completely rigorously defined. So we have a set of rules, or well, one might call them standard conjectures for this theory, which then leads to very rich structure and relations among these theories, which could be checked independently. So in all possible cases, they seem to pass all these checks. And just like in case of M-theory, you can't really prove the existence of this theory or construct it from the first principles, but the structure is so rich that you can make a lot of predictions which could be checked independently. And there is a physics part which unfortunately I didn't have time to cover, but would be glad to do it privately. Thank you. Right, so this is pretty tricky story, and obviously I'll try to give as complete answer as I can. So there are two versions of homologies, just as in the case of polynomials, which one might call normalized and unnormalized. Okay, we saw that in connecting different polynomial invariants, normalized is slightly better because unnormalized would miss the Alexander polynomial for a quite trivial reason. So it turns out that it is actually this unnormalized theory which has more obvious physical interpretation, because it's the one where John's polynomial and quantum SLN invariant is just quantum dimension rather than one for the unknot. But it is this normalized theory which has this unification property. So it seems that the structure of the two theories is almost identical. I mean, it's very easy to go from one to the other. But if I'm asked about physical interpretation, I would use unnormalized version. And if I'm talking about this unification, I actually most of the time mean the normalized version. So this is already one point which I want to stress, which is still a bit mysterious to me, and I think deserves better understanding. Now, in this normalized version, which doesn't quite have direct embedding in topological string, I mean, it doesn't have because, or at least I don't know because, it's hard to construct topological string model which reproduces invariant of not unknot in normalization where it is one, right? So we don't have that construction yet. This is really the main question there, which seems quite simple, but I don't know how to do it. And if we ignore this subtlety for a second, then what happens is that this conjecture, which is based on connection with topological strings, works very well. You don't have to worry about anything in a large n range. And sufficiently large n, unfortunately, happens for simple knots, all n's are large in that sense. So for example, for trefoil, for figure 8, or many other knots, n equals 2 is large in that sense. So the conjecture works. It doesn't break. The first time you have to go to n equals 3 or larger is a knot with 8 crossings. So we had to go to a very complicated example to discover this subtlety. But it's actually crucial because if not this subtlety, if it did work for all n's, we would never discover, or probably it would take much longer to discover this triply graded theory. So what happens is that there is a triply graded homology which comes with a family of differentials. And in order to specialize to SLN case, you have to take yet another cohomology. So you take cohomology with respect to nth differential of this triply graded theory, and then kind of substitute a equals q to the n in the end. So it has a very interesting structure, which is actually very, very important, and this is actually the gist of it, that you discover that for complicated knots or for small values of n, it's not just specialization. It's not just like substituting a equals q to the n. Actually, you have to cancel some terms. And you notice that the terms are canceled in pairs, very much like they're killed by some differential. And this is the structure I'm alluding to. I mean, it may probably sound too complicated. And again, I would be happy to explain it.
Well, that may very well be related to the physics part. I would think of this quantum reduction application for finite has been observed in ADS-CFT, for example. Similar things, I think, might be related to this entroncation. Sounds very much like
it. Yeah, that would be very interesting. It's actually a good question. I don't know direct physical manifestation of these differentials. The homology groups themselves, you could say that these are just Hilbert spaces of BPS states, and that seems to be the correct statement.
Any other questions?
So, is there a homology for the complete polynomial because it's not finalist?
Right. So this is the homology for the complete polynomial in a sense. Yeah, because right. So, for polynomials which are polynomials in one variable, we had doubly graded homology. I mean, the number of gradings was plus one compared to the number of variables. Homfli has two variables. So, in order to have a homology for Homfli, you would need a triply graded theory, and the claim is that this is precisely the one.
It also includes a transdiamond.
Which polynomial?
The Wilson-Liu operator, transdiamond theory, more general than the Homfli polynomial.
No, as I tried to emphasize earlier, I don't think, I mean, I'm not thinking about, usually, I don't think it's a good idea to think of Humphrey as transimens type invariant, because it knows about family of transimens invariants. But I'm not sure I understand your question.
So, all of this is for knots in contractible spaces.
Yeah, that's a good question. This theory can be defined for knots in any three-manifold because it uses Heger decomposition, and you can do it for any three-manifold. In fact, this theory was discovered as a spin-off of homology constructed for three-manifolds, and then they wanted to put knots in it. This theory exists only for knots, as well as actually all other ones except for this symplectic guy. But symplectic guy, as I said, is kind of handicapped because it's singly graded. So it's a good problem currently in math to construct versions of this or lift it to homologies of knots inside three manifolds. Yes?
In the case of just polynomial generalization, I think you use not only for classifying knots, but also define invariants, three variables. So is there some generalization of that for this homology where you can for given three manifolds, not this one, but for any three manifolds, we have some idea, maybe we have some in theory
interpretation? Yeah, at present, short answer is that at present it's not known. You could just say that if a manifold is obtained by surgery on the knot, or for example, as is a complement of the knot, I think that's. Yeah, you can obtain short answer is that there is a huge overlap, but the dictionary is not. That's simple. So one would have to do lots of surgeries, and in order to obtain a general three-manifold, I mean, it's not a surgery on simple knot or link. It's anyway. Okay.
Yeah.
Three
manifolds, which I thought was constructed.
Right. Okay. But more to the point, what I'm trying to say that you could say that the homology of a three-manifold obtained by some operation on knot or linked. Link is just precisely the homology for that link or for the knot. That could be taken as a working definition. That's a possibility. There is no intrinsic definition which would allow us to use knots and links. And even this simple way out hasn't been pursued that seriously, partly because, again, it's very recent, and I've heard it from several people, but nobody seemed to look at it.
In the case of John polynomial concrete, there's a natural physical interpretation, just compute the transcendent partial function for this.
Right. No, I think actually, I think there is yet another physical interpretation which would probably be more useful in defining such invariants that I'm thinking about it, and I think there should be a gauge theory interpretation of this invariance, like instanton floor homologies. And in fact, certain refinement, which is actually surprisingly relevant to this ADS program on Langlands correspondence. But I can't say much about it.
There's some other knot polynomials. I've forgotten the name. This guy in Chicago. Just defined out. I can't remember his name. Somebody quite well known. Not yours. He's written books.
Kaufman.
Kaufman, right?
Yes.
Kaufman polynomials. Do they fit into this theory?
Oh yeah, very well. And this is actually very very straightforward. Yes, there is a triply graded. Homology analog of it, which corresponds to unoriented version. I mean, yeah, it's relevant for SO and SP groups, and in physical setup, you just put orientifold, and it's pretty straightforward to work it out. And in fact, most of the math follows quite easily. So, again, you can come up with lots of predictions. But in this case, it's very funny because here we at least had some definitions by mathematicians which we could check against. And in that case, they didn't even define SO homology. So, I mean, as long as they define, we have predictions ready for them. So.
Any other questions? Okay, now let's answer.
Can I ask you a dumb question?